Drop your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Oh, a loose read's exactly what I need. Hi, Jenna, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Good. I popped into Time Out Bookstore, I must say, on Friday afternoon, and I got exactly what I was looking for. Thank you very much.
Oh, that's what we like to do.
Yes. Yes, it says indeed. What do you got for us today?
Okay.
Good morning. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. I know last week you guys talked about the Man Booker winner, Milkman, by Anna Hunt, but yes. I just want to take us back to the shortlist.
Yes, okay. You've got to cover many great books. Many great books.
Yeah, and usually I think if you're not really sure what to read, and if you look at something like a shortlisting prize list, you can kind of get something a little bit different that you're not used to. So Everything Under is by Daisy Johnson, and at 27, she's the youngest person to be shortlisted for the Booker.
Wow.
Right, okay.
Eleanor Kedon was 28. 27.
That is...
little genius.
Yeah. And well, I mean, at 27, you're not so much little, are you? You're just, I guess, you're maturing into your genius.
But to write a book that's...
I don't know, I've never written a book. I'd love to be able to, I'd love to think I could write a book, but...
I bet you'd have some stories, Mikey. Daisy's an English author. She studied at Oxford, and she won acclaim for her short stories called Fen. They came out last year, but in Everything Under...
Did we talk about them?
No, we haven't talked about them.
Good.
Maybe one day we will. And we meet a woman called Gretel. She's 33, and she was abandoned by her mum when she was 16. And they grow up living rough on a canal together. On canal boats, and they shared this special language, and this has taken her into her career as a lexicographer, which is
a lexicographer.
Yeah, you're updating translations in the dictionary.
That's your entire job.
Yeah.
Wow.
She does it for Oxford Dictionaries.
So she's a lexicographer.
Lexicographer.
A lexicographer. Well, you look like just. I bet you're a lexicographer. People would say to her, eh?
Yeah, exactly.
I bet you update. What? Just. Definitions and dictionaries.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
Yep, wow. Updating the dictionary.
Lexicon. The lexicon, that's where it comes from, isn't it? Lexicographer.
I guess
yes,
so.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. And, but suddenly her mum comes back into her life and she's suffering dementia, so...
She could do with a lexicographer.
Yeah, she could. Yeah. So you've got this tension of this... She's taking care of her mother who had abandoned her.
Oh.
And she's losing it.
It's a heavy book so far.
Yeah, it is quite heavy. So we read this navigation of their current relationship, but then we're also taken back to the time on the canal boats, specifically where this young boy called Marcus comes and stays on the boat with them.
Never trust a young boy called Marcus.
Quite a significant
in the story.
Time. Yeah. So I've decided not to say because it leads to a major plot spoiler, but it's based on a famous Greek myth. And this is quite a trend in fiction at the moment. We had Home Fire by Camilla Shamsie, which is Antigone, a modern telling of Antigone. And then Circe by Madeline Miller and Silence the Girls by Pat Barker. That's a female perspective of the Iliad. So there's quite trendy.
Yeah, very trendy.
Vibe.
Well, I mean, it's not so well known, the Greek... The Greek, you know, the Greeks tales.
Yeah. But then,
you know, like, I guess as well known as they were to a couple of generations before us.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. So, but
I'd like to know a bit more about them because they're quite telling.
Well, maybe delving into this current fiction is a good way to get into it. I didn't know. I just started reading this. I didn't even read what it was about. And then someone said, "Oh, is that the book based on?"
Did they give away the story?
I could see what had happened, but I still kept reading it. So it's quite moody and it's quite quiet and it's very concise, but lots of things are quite suggested, so you have to read it quite carefully because there's moving of characters, there's also moving of gender as well.
I find that it's good to read that if you start reading a book not if you start to be a little less careful in your reading, if you start to be a little bit sort of haphazard in your reading, you can really miss a bit. Then you have to go back.
You have to get really confused.
Yeah. Is that where I fell asleep? And I sort of thought that I'd read that chapter, but I sort of fell asleep reading. Yeah.
Happens to me all the time.
You know what I mean?
Your mind wanders slightly when you're reading.
And then you have to backtrack, hey? This is the thing with the...
And you think, did I actually just read that passage? If someone said to me what just happened in that passage, would I be able to tell them?
Or someone says, what's in that book? What's the book about you're reading? You go, oh, it's awesome.
Yeah.
Read the back here.
Lesson here, though, is always go back.
Yeah,
pay attention. Pay attention as well. Focus.
Rather than getting confused.
And sometimes you will always lose
focus. Be in the now. Be in the now. Don't let your mind wander. Don't let your mind think about something else you're supposed to be doing.
With this, read it carefully. So if you think you've missed something, you probably have.
Yeah, because there's some suggestions. You know, there's a few characters that
do a test after every read.
So I think if you're interested in Greek mythology, but also language, because languages, there's this made-up language plus the language that she's working with in her job.
Where's the made-up language come from?
So her and her mother, when they were living on the boats, they just made up words, and then that became their real words.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so it was, and that's quite beautiful, and also leads to kind of fairy tale and myth as well. And then also if you're interested in gender studies or anything to do with that, this has an interesting insight into that and really clever. My favourite parts were the navigation of the relationship between mother and daughter, but I felt like sometimes the myth portrayed was a little bit too neat, but this myth that they're talking, that is in the book, is
shit
really
fun living,
solid.
It'd be shit fun living on a canal boat. You know, but that's, you say it was a little too neat. I can imagine it sounds quite wonderful.
Well, it was pretty grimy time.
Yeah,
grimy,
well, grimy. Where does the toilet go? In the canal?
And there's also this kind of mythical creature that comes into it, and a lot of...
Here we go.
A lot of... There's a few deaths in the book as well. So
Most good books, you'll
find. It's quite grim, but is it worthy of a Man Booker shortlisting? It's artful, it shows promise, and it evokes an eerie feeling of dark family secrets, misunderstanding, destiny, and legends.
I'm going to say yes, that is.
With the Man Booker Prize, is it only fiction?
It's only fiction. And as of about 4 or 5 years ago, the Americans were allowed to enter. The Americans.
The Americans?
Used to just be the Commonwealth.
The Americans.
The books have to be published in the UK.
Yuck.
And the idea of how it works is that an imprint can put forward 2 books to be on the Man Booker reading
list. What does that
list.
Even mean? What does it mean?
But if you've been... If you've been longlisted or shortlisted, you automatically go on the list, but you don't take the place of perhaps a new person on. And then they have a team of judges.
I don't understand. Start again.
So if you've been shortlisted or longlisted previously, you are automatically submitted onto the list.
Okay.
Onto the submission list.
Okay.
So the judges will be reading about 150 books over a year.
But also each... printing company can only submit 2 books.
Can only submit 2.
Yeah. Golly gosh.
What if you have 5?
You can't.
You can't. You have to pick your...
I guess you've got to cull it somehow, don't you?
And an interesting thing I found out the other week was that now with the Americans coming in, when this American publishers are selling their rights to the UK, they'll say as part of the contract, this has to be submitted into the book.
Oh, the Americans again with the Americans.
Yeah, so it's really quite political.
Yeah. I was talking to Karen about this last week. I was saying that every Man Booker winner I've ever read has been fantastic, though.
Yeah.
I can't think of one that's been bad.
Obviously, Karen talked about Milkman last week, which is also kind of grim, and this is quite grim.
Yeah, are they all a bit grim? Mars Room, that was shortlisted, the women's prison book. That
also quite grim.
Grim, yeah. Haven't heard of a happy one yet, but
I talk like I've read lots of them, but I haven't read a lot. So I've read like maybe 4.
You do have to.
But you can't go wrong. You just can't go wrong with it.
You have to have a grim storyline to really get you.
Life can be grim, though, Tess.
I tell you what, when customers come in and they're like, I just want a happy book where no one dies. Ooh. I'm like, ugh. Yeah, I don't
Pop
know if
down
I can
to
help you there. I mean, we have a little set. We have our happy, we call it the charming book section.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, usually for a really grimy, gritty read and something that makes you really feel something, usually something kind of bad has to happen.
Yeah.
I can understand that.
But I would recommend it. It's it was one that when I put it down, I wasn't desperate to pick it up again. But it's kind of, I keep thinking about it, and I was thinking about it all last night. And she's a clever writer.
So what's the name of the book again?
Everything Under by Daisy Johnson. It's $40. It's a beautiful little hardback, which is a great great Christmas present.
Ideal stocking stuffer
nice
this Christmas.
Nice cover, shortlisted for the Booker, and it's on the shelf now at Time Out.
Can I ask you a question a little aside from that? Yesterday was the 100 years since Armistice Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I wonder whether maybe there's some amazing books out about that, because I felt the even just watching the network news last night quite moving. A lot of the commemorations around Armistice Day. And of course, there's the 18,000 crosses outside the War Memorial Museum at the moment in Auckland. Mm-hmm. All that sort of stuff. Is there anything in particular that you've seen, you know, to commemorate that?
There's this really wonderful kids series called Kiwis at War. It's young adult, sort of, you know, 8 to 12 age.
Yeah.
And they will have, so they've had 1914, you know, that goes right up to 1918.
Right.
And it'll have a different perspective of a New Zealander that was in the war. So we've got a story from the point of view of a nurse, a horse rider, just a soldier.
Wow.
Yeah, so I think that's really good to give to young ones to get knowledge.
Who can, you know, so they can learn a little bit more about that war as opposed to just looking at a memorial somewhere in some
poor... Yeah, and it really humanises it as well. Yeah. So,
it was massive in this country. It was like we lost so many people, and I've always said that when you drive through the country, you suddenly see all these towns where you go, wow, and, you know... Just the mere fact that, well, this town would have been so much more, but then all the men got taken away, you know, like in these small towns and, like, you know, just...
Imagine half your town disappearing and they're going to a place that you can't even imagine what they're doing, or they didn't really know what they were doing when they went.
You don't find out about what happened for months and months and months afterwards.
Yeah, so I know.
But there are quite a few
books that have come in for the commemorations, and especially in the children's section, which is cool.
Yeah, that is really cool. Thank you, Jenna. Thanks for coming. Today's book, though, is called
Everything Under by Daisy Johnson, published by Jonathan Cape.
Hot damn. Thank you, Jenna.
Thank you.
That was Loose Reads.